time. We talk fast in South Carolina.
Yeah. Okay. I'm passing this over to our media specialist. He's going to click because obviously I'm challenged. Again, I'm Helen Fellers Deagle from South Carolina State Department of Health and Environmental Control, and I work with the Division of Tobacco Prevention and Control. And we also have with us Mary Catherine Kraft, who is our media specialist, also for the division, who's the co-author for the presentation. This is also in collaboration with Renee Martin, who's the executive director of the South Carolina Tobacco Collaborative, which is a type of advocacy coalition for our state. And we want to talk a little bit about how tobacco prevention advocates use science to prevail over preemption and to successfully pass smoke-free workplace laws or ordinances. A couple of learning objectives. This is what we hope to accomplish while we're here, to recognize the major obstacles that we had in South Carolina while proposing and promoting smoke-free workplace laws, for you to be able to identify strategies for garnering public support with champions and decision makers, and then the last objective, to develop a science-based advocacy plan. And later I'll refer to that as our strategic plan or our strategic approach. Okay, obstacles. We had a very long list, but we tried to make it brief because the presentation is brief. We have a lot of obstacles in South Carolina. Many of these that you're going to recognize or know might be similar to those in your own states. Of course, we have a heavy emphasis politically and financially on tobacco growing. We have, for many, many years, been a tobacco growing state, and I think in the last 10 years, been a tobacco manufacturing state. So we've got kind of the double whammy going on. We have preemption on the books. I'm going to assume that everybody in the room knows what preemption is, but just in case you do not, preemption is where a local entity or municipality, town, or city cannot pass a local law or ordinance that is stronger than the state law. And in South Carolina, that brings us right to our South Carolina Clean Indoor Air Act, which is full of loopholes or holes or great big giant gaps or whatever you want to call it. When you look closely at the Clean Indoor Air law in South Carolina, you look very, very closely at it. It, of course, includes libraries and schools and daycares and state buildings and hospitals and such. But there are so many loopholes, like teachers' lounges that are not adjacent or classrooms not adjacent to classrooms. There are loopholes like private offices and canteens. So if you look really, really, really strictly at the law, it protects, I think, three places: hallways, elevators, and taxi cabs. It's pretty pitiful. Lobbying influence. Lots and lots of money coming in from the tobacco industry for lobbyists to take control of our legislature, and spend a lot of time there talking to our representatives and our senators about what should be passed and what should not be passed. Anything that's passed now is going to have preemption tacked onto it, as long as it's tobacco related. Significantly below CDC recommendations. I think the recommendation, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is about 61, 62 million. We are at 2 million, and that was non-recurring state funds. And then, of course, we receive a little over a million in federal funds. Lowest cigarette tax in the United States, something else not to be proud of, at 7 cents. We are trying to raise that to a dollar, an even dollar, with a 93-cent increase. And then voluntary policy until 2006. And a lot of what we're going to talk about today with preemption and prevailing over preemption has to do with that time frame of 2006. Other obstacles. Preemption, talked about that. It's interesting in South Carolina as well that preemption is not in the Clean Indoor Air Act. It's in the Youth Access Act. So in some instances, district or regional judges have interpreted the law as it was clearly stated just for youth access to tobacco products. So preemption is there. It is not in the Clean Indoor Air that has to do with secondhand smoke exposure and clean indoor air environment. So we've had two different rulings. I'll talk about that a little bit later, because we have a pending decision by the Supreme Court in South Carolina that affects our ordinances. And the responsibility issues. At the state level, the legislature wants control of it because, again, of that heavy lobbying influence. So they want a weak law, again, full of loopholes and covered in preemption. Local governments, some, there have been 11 that have passed ordinances, they want local control. And then in some instances, we have places, such as my beautiful hometown of Buford, South Carolina, where the county passed an ordinance, but the city said, we're going to wait to see what the state does. The state now won't do anything until the Supreme Court ruling, and we're not quite sure when that's going to come out. We hope after the new year. The tipping point or the turning point for us in South Carolina, what made us successful over preemption thus far, and I was joking with the panelists up here, is we're in denial in South Carolina about a lot of things. So right now, we're just pretending perhaps that preemption doesn't exist or ignoring it. But the tipping point was the Surgeon General's report, that you cannot argue with the Surgeon General, that the Surgeon General did not have a personal agenda. And then the report came out in June that we have lived by with six major conclusions that are very succinct and pretty much said that there is no safe level of secondhand smoke exposure, period. With this in place in June 2006, released Sullivan's Island, you'll see the time there. 1 month later was the first ordinance we passed in South Carolina that was a comprehensive law to include restaurants and bars. And then the other piece of science that we use or report that we use is ASHRAE, American Society of Heating, Refrigerating, and Air Conditioning Engineers, that they say the ventilation doesn't work, because we hear that a lot. Well, what about ventilation? Costly, it doesn't work. Here's the statement. And then with that in mind, additional municipalities came on board and are passing their own ordinances. The mouse is not cooperating. There we go. Either go right-click. There we go. Just a little bit of our visual mapping that we do, monitoring with the State Department of Health. You'll see down in the right-hand corner on the East Coast near the Charleston area, that's Sullivan's Island. Again, the first comprehensive law in the state. We did have another town, Liberty, South Carolina, that passed a law, but it was very limited and was not comprehensive. The mouse is not our friend this morning. Okay. Strategies using the science, because that's what worked for us. The who, the what, when, where, and how. The who are our personal or person resources advocates. What, science, science, science. In a minute, I'll show you what didn't work. When and where, grassroots, and multiple sites at the same time, and how. Utilization of the media and concurrent approach. Some of our champions are our advocates, and these were a lot of the key decision makers at the city level or town municipality level. And again, this was coupled with the science, the Surgeon General's report. We like a broken record about the Surgeon General's report. We love it. Is really what sold the champions on the issue, so they would come out and support it. I love the quote from the mayor here. This is Mayor Bob Coble, and this is from the state newspaper. It's been a sea of change. The health issues are now crystal clear, and things are becoming an economic issue. People want to go to smoke-free businesses. So crystal clear. Why? Because the Surgeon General's report. Another champion, this is the mayor, Joe Riley, in Charleston. I aided with the Surgeon General's report. Now, confidence, our duty, create smoke-free places. Love it. And then at the very bottom, Councilwoman Judy Tuttle, who's from Surfside Beach. This is not a constitutional right. We hear that a lot. It's a constitutional right to smoke. It's a constitutional right for my business to decide whether I want people to smoke or not. There is no constitutional right. It's not included in the Constitution. It is a choice, and it's a bad choice. You leave yourself open to liability. It's about protecting those who have no choice. Everyone does have a right to clean air or breathe clean air. Okay, grassroots advocates. They also include volunteers, professional organizations, just like many of y'all's areas, coalitions, and nonprofits. To be more specific, South Carolina Tobacco Club, we've already talked about, Smoke-Free Action Network, SCATN, that's our African-American Tobacco Control Network, the nonprofits, United Way, March of Dimes, and the list goes on. Some of the efforts that took place, petitions, yard signs, call to action cards, and marketing products, many of y'all use those bumper stickers and t-shirts and such. The interesting thing about the yard signs was that we had a city council member, Sam Davis, who was undecided, and we couldn't decide what he was going to do about the proposed ordinance for the city of Columbia, which is our state capital. And so our advocates went out and canvassed his district area with yard signs so he could see how many of his constituents were really in support of the ordinance. And these are some samplings of what we use. The Make It Happen is really our logo, our slogan for it all. You'll see that we have it at the top, Smoke-Free South Carolina, and then we have detailed it for Smoke-Free Columbia, Smoke-Free Surfside, Smoke-Free Buford. The Breathe Easy, You're in the City was the marketing campaign created for the Greenville Ordinance. And the Make It Happen Buford card at the side is a nice little call to action card to let people know in that area when a city council or county council meeting is taking place that they need to come if this is an issue important to them. It'd be great if the mouse really proceeded. Media coverage, education awareness heightened every time there was an article, a quote, a question, whether good or bad, for or against us. It just heightened the education at the public level, which was very, very important. We always framed it as a workers' health, public health issue, and that was always coupled with the Surgeon General's report and messaging for it to be successful. Sustained media. It's been going on since the Surgeon General's report was released in June 2006 to the present time. We have had a lot more earned media, which is great because we've had a shoestring budget for only about two or three cities. South Carolina DHEC news release. That doesn't seem like it's very significant, but it is. Our agency had not taken a public stance on this issue in the last 10 years because it's so politically charged. And after the Surgeon General's report came out, then we were able to do a full statement from the agency. So that was just huge for us. And then press conferences to follow that. These are just some samplings of the media and news releases. The DHEC news release, one of our partners at the bottom, and then you'll see with the time frame here, May 2007, it continues. Mary Catherine may want to talk a little bit about us as the media specialist, just some sampling of the headlines that kind of tell the story and are regionally diverse throughout our state.
I think what's important is the date that it starts in 2006.
And the last one here with Time to Go Smoke-Free, that was the first municipality to pass a smoke-free ordinance that was comprehensive in South Carolina, but also included the beach as well as the walkovers. Failed approaches. What didn't work for us and may work for you, but what didn't work for us. Economic studies. And these are just some of the responses that we received. It's not South Carolina. We don't work that way, using examples from other states. Air quality testing. And then below, down here with cotinine testing. Public never truly understood it. And then we were accused of skewing the data or the results. Child welfare and elderly health issues. Comments were they don't have to go there, they can go elsewhere. We even had a gentleman say on one of the city councils that, you know, children can get up and walk out. That's a ridiculous statement. They're usually with their parents. Adult patron health and tourist beach area, if you don't like it, you can leave. And that was a direct quote from the mayor of Surfside Beach, who was vehemently opposed to the smoke-free ordinance that did pass. Health specialists and doctors had a toxicologist get up and talk about his studies and his information and his data. They were referred to as health Nazis, and there was no true proof of harm. And then workers as a disparate population. They can find work elsewhere. Remember, this is before we coupled it with the Surgeon General's report. Strategic approach. Of course, we want a statewide comprehensive approach for a comprehensive law to cover everything and have no loopholes and no preemption. That would be just a perfect universe. It does not happen in South Carolina that way. That approach did not happen. I have a listing, and I'll pass this around, of 17 pieces of legislature that were introduced, some still pending, just in 2007. 17 pieces, either cigarette tax or smoke-free clean indoor air laws, 8 are smoke-free out of the 17.
I have more comments about my friend today.
So what did work for South Carolina? Remember using the science. Okay, the strategic approach. It's stream of consciousness for South Carolina. Lots of circles all over, all together. Colleges and universities and historically black colleges and universities, counties, hospitals, towns, schools, regions, faith communities, and cities. Instead of going to the statewide, we decided we would go elsewhere. If it doesn't work going in the front door, you need to go in the back door. So we had all of our partners that I listed before, all working on promoting smoke-free policies. Model policies, 100%, no exemptions, no loopholes. So this is what we have done to approach smoke-free laws and pass them in South Carolina, all at the same time. And you'll see once you get a hospital, a college, a faith, and a school in the towns and cities, then you have regional clusters for what has been successful and what has not. The next map shows more mapping of where these laws have taken place. Comprehensive, Beaufort is an entire county, and the stars are just for towns or cities. You'll see a cluster here on the east coast going all the way down to Beaufort. And then on the side, I don't know if y'all can quite read that or not, it shows what they're Aiken, Beaufort, Bluffton, Charleston, Greenville, Hilton Head, Columbia, and so forth with the dates they were passed. We hope that one day the complete state will be filled in. Next steps. 11 ordinances to date on the books, which is fantastic. I mentioned before Surfside Beach is the first to include the beach and walkovers. Supreme Court decision pending, that's very pivotal. It's vital to us to be able to keep those ordinances in place. So not only are we fighting for new ordinances, pretending sort of like preemption isn't there, but we are really waiting with bated breath to see if the Supreme Court's going to come out in favor of us. One district judge has come out in favor and one has not, so now it's at the Supreme Court. Local control emphasis, again, if you can't beat them at the state level, then we want that concurrent approach, multi-level approach. So we're hoping that what we can do is grow the numbers from 11 to as many as we can get and then force the hand at the state level so that preemption can be repealed and we can get a comprehensive statewide law. This is a really nice billboard that was created, produced for the city of Charleston to thank Mayor Riley and the other Charleston County City Council members for passing that ordinance, now entering a smoke-free city. This is what we'd like to see in South Carolina. Ah, the fifth time's the charm. Now entering a smoke-free South Carolina. And it's very interesting in South Carolina that our state motto is Dum Spiro Spero. And that means, while I breathe, I hope. So what we hope for is a smoke-free state with a comprehensive law without the possibility of ever having preemption again. Thank you.